That's a long gospel, and we don't have time to look at every line, but I would propose for us today, as this title, and to look at some elements of the gospel, a recipe for readiness. A recipe for readiness. Because the Lord is very clear that judgment day will come, and we have to be ready. There's an attitude today that says, oh no, God's just going to let everybody in. But again, it's just not what Scripture says, and the Lord says that we do need, by His grace, to be ready for that day. And so let's look at some of the things that the Lord offers us today as a recipe, if you will, for readiness, some of the ingredients. Let me list them for you, and then we'll take a look at each of them individually. Fundamentally, I'm going to suggest five basic ingredients in this recipe. That we should reassess our wealth, be ready to work, read the Word, remain watchful, and reflect on our reward. So, each of these five, let's develop them now. Let's get to work with the first one, which is, in effect, that we should reassess our wealth. The text says, "Don't be afraid any longer, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Therefore, sell your belongings, give alms, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach or moth destroy. For where your treasure is, your heart will be." Reassess your wealth. We talked a lot about this last week, and this gospel follows directly on that gospel. So rather than redo that whole sermon, let's just remember a couple of basic points in reassessing our wealth. And that is to say that the Lord, first of all, says to us, in effect, look, I'm pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, would you please let that dawn on you, that you are, the little trinkets that this world can give you is like nothing compared to what I've got for you. And let that begin to really sink into you so that you're not so obsessed with worldly wealth and trinkets and the things that just mesmerize so many people and cause them to lose their way. But rather, ask of the Father, we should all ask of the Father to give us a spirit of detachment. We need a little money to make our way through this world. It's the currency of this world. I got that. You got to pay a few tolls on the way. Amen? But at the end of the day, our goal isn't to amass huge amounts and pile up all kinds of stuff. Because it's not our treasure. Our treasure is in heaven. But if we don't really let that part sink in, we're going to be just grabbing all kinds of stuff. See? But ask the Father to give you the spirit that will say, I am so grateful for what you've given me, this relationship that's growing in my heart, and I'm just enthusiastic and excited about the things not only waiting for me in heaven, but even now, the treasure of your word, the treasure of family and friends and fellowship and a relationship with you, and I'm being nourished and supported and encouraged, and oh, I don't need to worry about so many of the things of this world, see? Now, the Lord includes a danger here. This is why we need to reassess our wealth and why it's important to do that in order to be ready for the judgment day. Why? Well, he says here, wherever your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. Now, look, one of the reasons that a lot of us struggle to love God, love our neighbor, and love the things waiting for us in heaven is that we love money. And that's where our treasure is. We love the things of this world. That's our real treasure. And so our heart is here, not with God, not with the things waiting for us in heaven, not with the things that matter to God. It comes down, the scripture said very clearly in 2 Timothy, the love of money is at the root of all of our ailments and illnesses and evils. See, our hearts are not right because we have our hearts set on the wrong thing, money. And the trinkets of this world. We got to ask God to help us with that. We got to ask Him to help us with our greed and our attachments. Because otherwise, our heart's all wrong. And we're not eager for judge, you know, for the great day of judgment, when I'll go to the Lord and He'll will assess my life and He'll heal me and bring me finally into the glory of kingdom of heaven. And people are like, oh, I'm getting older and I'm getting sick, and people are almost as though it was a terrible, terrible. They're going about to lose everything. All you're going to lose is a bunch of trinkets compared to what waits. Are you praying with me? Now we'll look at this at the very end as well. But what is your real wealth? That's what the Lord asked us to look at. And it's an important question to answer truthfully. We want to supply the expected answer. Oh, my wealth is God and the things waiting for me in heaven. Yeah, right. Liar. Now, I don't mean everyone's lying, but, you know, we tend to tell ourselves little lies. But really, honestly, answer the question honestly with God. And, you know, it's okay to say, Lord, I'll be honest. I'm much more mesmerized and excited about the latest trinkets, the latest upgrades, the latest, you know, we got to move now because granite countertops are out and quartz countertops are in, and I got to go get one. You know, we can say to God, I'm struggling with that kind of stuff, Lord. Help me. My heart's wrong. Fix me, Lord. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me for my long white robe. I need help. My heart is wrong. I love money more than I love you. Sometimes we just got to be honest like that. I'm not saying it's true of everybody in this church. I'm just going to say it's a human problem. And the Lord says, look at that, see, and reassess your wealth. And ask yourself constantly every day, what will this get me in the end other than a stone-cold tomb? See, where is your real help? Where's your real wealth? Is it God and the things waiting for you? Or do we buy into the little lies that say, well, I just need a little more money, a little more health, a little more friends, a little more creature comforts. Guess what? Still ain't going to do it for you. Because it's slipping through your fingers like sand right now. And it's going to fail you. See? And we have to keep reminding ourselves of what the Lord teaches us about wealth. Are you praying with me? So step one in the recipe, reassess your wealth. See, learn that life can be better lived more simply and with less distractions if we focus on the Lord and the wealth waiting for us in heaven, and we begin to screen out some of the clutter and the stuff that weighs us down on our journey. So, reassess your wealth. Secondly, be ready to work. The Lord says, gird your loins. That sounds a little private there, Father. It's basically the ancient equivalent of roll up your sleeves, right? We talked about this before. To gird your loins, they wore long garments, kind of like I'm wearing today. And if you had to work, you know, your legs get all tangled up, you see. And so you have to lift up your garments and pull your belt tight. And your legs are free and you can lift and go up and down stairs easily and so on. You see the idea. It's the ancient equivalent of roll up your sleeves. And it means it's an image for work. Now, of course, the Lord may have given you a career and so on. But at the end of the day, the real work has to come back to our vocations. So what is our main work? It's to spread the kingdom. The Lord needs us to send His word out. Now, if you're a parent, that starts with your kids. And your main work isn't to store up money for the college education. Your main work is to read them Bible stories, to teach them about the Lord, to teach them about right and wrong, and to help them to walk in a godly way. And that's your main job. See, and don't forget job one, amen? And as a priest, you know, a lot of us priests can wander off into administrative tasks and activism of various sorts, but our main job is to pray for God's people and preach a word and celebrate the sacraments to help sanctify them. Pray that I stay at my post, you see, and too many of us, it's too easy for all of us in our vocational work to kind of wander off, see? And within that, the Lord may have given you some special work in the community or the church. Some of you are great at taking care of the poor. Some of you are wonderful, and I'm so grateful that you visit the sick. See? I can't get to all the different places that some of y'all live, and I'm so grateful that there's some folks that help me with that work. And likewise, some of you are wonderful at teaching and serving and helping to administer the parish. So a lot of us have a gift, and the question is, what is your gift? What are your gifts? And what is the Lord, what work is the Lord asking of you? And in the meantime, until the day we die or become too weak to do it, we do what we're told to do. I keep so busy working for the kingdom, I ain't got time to die. We're working for the kingdom and the king. So what is that work? See, you let the Lord show you. If it's to work, if it's to pray, if it's to sing, if it's to help administer, if it's to preach and teach, if it's whatever the gifts, we need to roll up our sleeves and be about the work that the Lord has given us to do. So we see that we're to reassess our wealth. Look carefully, because that's going to mess with your heart if you don't got it right. Likewise, we got to be ready to work, find out what is my work, and do it. Likewise, we are to read the word. The text goes on to say, not only gird your loins, but light your lamps. Light your lamps. Now, there's a lot of images we could come up with regarding the lamp, but let me give you this main one, which is from Scripture. What does it mean to light our lamps? It means to read God's word. Read his word. It says here in Psalm 119, "Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So, what is the lamp? God's word. Likewise, again, 2 Peter says this, "We possess this prophetic message from God as altogether reliable. And you, my brothers and sisters, do well to attend to this word like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." We've got to, in order, part of this recipe for readiness is to not only work on our heart, but on our mind. Now, we've got to have a steady diet of God's word. I'm going to just tell you right now, and I say this a lot, especially if you've attended funerals here, you've probably got what I'm about to say memorized. But listen, there is a lot of stinking thinking out there. A lot of stinking thinking. And you and I are kidding ourselves if we think our minds are going to be anything but polluted. If we are swimming in the water of this word without the cleansing power, the scouring power of God's word. Our minds are like a sponge. And if you put a sponge in muddy water, don't kid yourself, it's coming out muddy. Now, how do you clean a dirty sponge? Well, you plunge it into clean water and you wring it out. You plunge it back into the clean water and you wring it out, and back into the clean water and you wring it out. And what's the clean water? That's God's word. That's God's word. Again, we've got to have more attentiveness to our thought life and to our mind. And there's just too much out there that gets through to us and infects us, and it affects the way we think. And if we're not reading God's word every day as a kind of a remedy, our thoughts become distorted and darkened, our priorities are wrong, we start making stupid and foolish choices, and we are drifting away from our goal. And we will not be ready. In fact, the blinding, beautiful light of heaven will be blinding for us. We'll call it harsh. But we have to become accustomed to the light. So, "Your word, O Lord, is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." Let the light of God get you accustomed to the light of truth and the light of his glory. Do not allow the darkness of this world to make you consider the light hateful, but a steady diet every day of God's cleansing and enlightening word is what is needed for us to be ready for the great day of judgment. So we've seen again that we are to reassess our wealth. That's about our heart, where our treasure is, whether it's money or God. Likewise, we're to be ready to work. We are to roll up our sleeves, to gird our loins, and get ready for the work that God has given us. We are to read his word, the light, the lamp unto our feet. Number 4 of 5, we are to remain watchful. To remain watchful. It says here, "You ought to be like servants who await their master's return, say from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Now be sure of this, if the master of the house," that's you, "if the master of the house knew an hour when the thief was coming, he wouldn't let his house be broken into. See, you must also be prepared, for in an hour that you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Now, we'll get to that issue of a thief in a minute. That's a remarkable thing that the Lord would compare himself to a thief. We'll get to that. But notice just first of all this image. Be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding feast, say. Now, the Lord's going to come. The Lord will. We're either going to him or he's coming to us. Either way, though, we're going to meet him, see? And we got to be ready. Now, the Lord says, be, if you will, like servants who are watchful. Remain watchful. Now, this idea of watching and waiting, let's rescue this from flawed notions. For example, one could think of waiting in a merely passive sense, like you're waiting for a bus, kind of sitting there dumbly.
Is it there yet?
Oh, yeah, I don't see it yet. That's kind of passive waiting, right? There's a different kind of a waiting, right? Like someone who waits on tables. It's an active waiting, right? It's looking to the customers. What do they need? Oh, need some water. Let's get the. Likewise, that table needs to be bussed, or we're gonna take care eagerly to please the people who are in the restaurant. And that's an active waiting. So we're waiting for our Lord like that. We want to please him. Whatever he wants, I want it too. Whatever he asks me to do, give me the grace and the strength, Lord, and I'll do it. We're excited. We want to be actively waiting upon the Lord in that sense of waiting, right? Active, not passive waiting. Secondly, watchfulness. It says here, it sort of has this image of them watching, looking for the master to return. Not saying, oh, I hope he doesn't come today. Well, let's just hope, trying to put him out of our mind. But it's an active, eager looking. Is he coming? Is he here yet? Now, think of a kid on Christmas and think of an adult as Christmas gets close. Think of the difference. Kids like, is it here yet? Is Santa coming? every day it gets closer, and we're like, and the adults are like, oh my gosh, it's December 10th, and I haven't done anything to get ready. See? Now, the point is to be more like the kid in this story, amen? You're eager, you're excited, you want the Lord to come. You're saying, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, and hurry up about it. Every single day, every priest throughout the world, every monk, every religious sister, and all the lay people who choose to join us begin the holy office with this little thing. O God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Which basically translated is, Lord, help me out and hurry up, please. Hurry, Lord, hurry. Hurry. Come quickly. That great call, come, Lord, come. So it's an eager, longing looking, not a dreading, he might come, but that's the picture, right? So like a kid on Christmas gets close, or again, someone who's waiting on tables, an active, joyful waiting, wanting to please, you see. Now, but that leads then to this warning. The Lord says, careful, because if that's not your disposition, you're going to think of me like a thief. Because if the world is your oyster, and your heart is on the world, and your treasure is here, not in heaven, I'm going to come, and you're going to say, man, you're stealing everything I own. You're stealing everything I find most precious. Now, don't ever let the Lord become a thief unto you. That's the point. He's not a thief. He's our Savior. He wants to give us something greater. But if we say, I don't care about that, I want a bigger house. He comes to take your house. He's a thief, man. See? So you see the idea, a dreading of a thief trying to break in. The Lord is not a thief, but we come to see him that way if we don't go back to that very first point where we said, reassess your wealth. What is your real wealth? Is it your house, your car? Is it the things of this world? Or is it really the Lord? See, too easily, it's the things of this world. And if that's the case, we start to dread. And the way you hear some people, even a lot of Christians, talk today. Oh, I'm getting older, and it's harder now, and I might not have all the same money. And I mean, I don't know about you, but people think I'm crazy when I talk like this. But I can't wait to go home and see the Lord. And as I get older, I'm happier. I'm like, I'm like you. I kind of groan and creak, when I walk, and I kind of lament that I don't have the energy. But, at the end of the day, I'm excited to be getting older because it means I'm getting closer to home. I'm like a sprinter rounding the last lap, and you start to see the finish line and say, oh, yeah, and you start to pick up pace, and you're joyful. I'm coming near the end. Cross the finish line. Thank you, Lord. Are you praying with me? That should be our attitude. But, oh, if the worst thing in the world is to die. What do you mean, die and get out of this insane asylum that we're living in? That's great! See, now, I don't mean that we're suicidal. I understand if you're raising kids and so on, you may have a few things you'd like to get done before. I get that. But you see, there ought to be deep in our heart a longing and a yearning, see, that the Lord is not a thief coming to take away, but he's coming to give you everything your heart has really longed for. But that does depend on your heart. Because if your treasure is your house and your money and your granite countertops that now need to be replaced with quartz, if that's your treasure, the Lord will come. He's going to take every bit of it. Every bit of it. Because it's never been yours. It's always been his. It's all tainted. Taint yours. It's all his. So you see the idea. He's not a thief, but he can seem like a thief. You be careful. Because on the day of your judgment, on the day of your death and my death, he'll either be like a thief or a savior. Which is it going to be? You get to decide that. It's about your heart and what really you most value. And that leads us then to the last point. Again, let's review, though, before we get there. We are to reassess our wealth. We've come to see how important that is. What do you really value? What's your real wealth? Is it the trinkets of this earth or the true treasure of heaven? Reassess your wealth. Be ready to work. Find out what the Lord's given you to do while you're here and do it. Read his word to keep your mind clear and out of the darkness and accustomed to the light. Remain watchful, excited, eager for his coming, not loathing the day like a thief, but eager that he who comes to reward is on his way. And then finally, reflect on your reward. And the Lord says here, look, he says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Blessed. Somebody say blessed. Oh, blessed. You have no idea how blessed, right? Blessed are those servants. He himself, look at this. God himself will roll up his sleeves and set up the table and have you come and eat. He'll prepare the meal for you. And what a meal. Now, we've all been to some fancy meals, amen? I've been to more than a few. I've even been to a fancy meal in the East Room over there at the White House. I've done stuff like that. So have some of you. Church, this is better than the East Room, all right? This is the King's Room, all right? This is the Lord's Room and the Lord's table. And eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it has not even begun to dawn on our minds of the glory, of the happiness, of the joy that God has prepared for us if we love and trust him. Oh, church, let your hearts burn with joy. Let your hearts be alive with excitement. See how different this is? Oh, I might be dying in the next 10 years. I better get my insurance policy. Maybe you need to do that, but don't. Every day, Lord, every day I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad the world can't do me no harm. I'm running, Lord. I'm trying to make 100 because 99 and a half just isn't going to do. Oh, Lord, I'm going to make 100 with your grace. So listen. Meditate a lot on heaven. We don't do that enough. People say, we don't hear enough sermons on hell anymore. Well, maybe that's true, but we don't hear enough on heaven either. Listen, something wonderful is waiting for you and me. And the Lord wants to give it to us. And it's going to be wonderful. If you need a little help, you know, maybe pick up Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Or Revelation 8 or 20 and 21 and 22, the great wedding feast of the Lamb. It's all so beautifully described. The glories, the beauties, the joys of a heaven. But listen, no matter how glorious a picture you can get in your mind, it is just a tiny little scintilla of the real, true glory that waits. Are you praying? So the Lord says, look, reflect a lot on your reward. You know, these athletes down there at Rio, you know, they don't yawn their way to those trophies and those medals, right? Come on, y'all. They want it. And they think about it every day. The gold. And they're going to go, and they're going to stand, and they're going to dun da da dun da da dun da da da, and they're going to be there on that dais, and people are going to say, there's the best athlete in the 100-yard dash, or whatever they call it these days, 100 meters. There's the best one in the world. There he is. There she is. They get up every day thinking about that award, and they train, and they pummel their bodies, and they get up again, and they do it all again, and again, and again, until the day comes, and they run their heart out for that reward. What drives that? A reward. That's just an earthly trinket. If that's the case, and God bless them for their discipline. But doesn't it kind of put the lie to us? We're like, oh, do I have to go to church? Do I have to serve the poor? Oh, man, it's hard. Well, God will understand if I just sleep in today. And does that sound like somebody who has the award in mind? Man. So you see the vision here. The Lord is saying, every day reflect on your reward. See? And it'll animate you and get you moving and say, yeah, I know I need to make some sacrifices. I need some sore muscles. I'm going to need a little bit of that to get where I need to go. But thank you, Lord. I know where I'm going. And I'm excited. And I'm willing to do it. Because you promised me joys unspeakable and glories untold. Well, a recipe then for readiness. Simply these again, 5 points. Reassess your wealth. Because that's going to tell you where your heart is. See? Is your treasure money and things, or is it God in heaven? Be honest. Reassess and say, Lord, help me to get it right. Be ready to work. Do the work that the Lord's given you to do. Read his word so that your mind isn't dark and polluted and accustomed to the darkness and hateful of the light. Remain watchful, joyfully looking, waiting for the Lord to come. And then, finally, just every day, reflect on your reward. See, a pretty good recipe for readiness. An old spiritual just says, I would not be a sinner. I'll tell you the reason why. I'm afraid my Lord might call my name. I wouldn't be ready to die. So we don't want to be unready to die. I can't tell you when you're going to die, but I'll tell you this. You are going to die, and you don't get to say when. And so the Lord says, meanwhile, get ready, because it's coming, and it will come, and it will come maybe at an hour you do not expect. Just follow the recipe. Stay ready, stay watchful, and eagerly, eagerly seek to please the Lord who comes to reward, not to be a thief. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Help me to be ready, and then come quickly. Amen.